Hello, and welcome back to episode 18 of the Power Suits podcast. We have taken a little bit of an unplanned hiatus, which really we have no good excuse for because we've hung out a bunch, we've seen each other a bunch, we were living in the same city, and now we're back to being separated by countries and are getting back into the routine of recording. So, welcome back, Katie. How have you been, my
Hey,
friend?
I'm good. I do think that that's true, that when we're actually separated, we're better at recording because it's all of our story time.
Right. And we're better at, like, we have to schedule something where when we're in the same place, like, I think about it, like, you. We're at my house multiple times where we could have sat down and been like, let's record an episode. And we just didn't. We did things together multiple times, but it's not like, oh, we need to sit down and like record an episode. So I know our New Year's resolution was to be more consistent. Like most people in their resolutions failed miserably, but we're not even done with the first quarter. There's time to change, there's time to pivot. There's time to adjust.
Got this.
We can get
We're
it.
just not, we're not giving up on the goal, but consistency.
Yeah,
Got
consistency.
this.
We'll get back. We'll get back. I mean, it was.
There is, by the way, guys, you know that we share a notes, and there have been some things in this notes that she still has yet to tell me in person. So I still don't even know what these stories are or what
Yeah.
happened.
I feel like so. Okay. So I feel like we're actually going back to notes that were literally created probably within days of recording our last episode, which was in January. So these notes go back all the way to January. And I don't know. I guess we're just gonna like, I think we should just probably like pick or choose some of them that we want to that we want to discuss, because I don't know that we're going to talk about every single one of them, because some of them I don't even know. There's some of here that are popping out that I know we have to talk about. Another ones I don't really care about.
We'll combine frenemies and we'll combine the story straight because that was one evening that can be combined into one.
Yes.
Before we do that, we'll let you do your. I already know what money doesn't sleep is,
Yeah,
but.
I think we can probably skip that one, and or maybe that can come back to be like a power tip at the end, because it was we could we, that's not important. I think we should start out with what you have been dying to know what this means. So go ahead, just read what it says
Oh,
on our
Francie
shared notes.
put in the shared notes, Balmain dash cat piss. And for the life of me, I mean, my brain in 2 months have thought millions of things, but I have no idea what the heck she's talking about. And I
And
do believe, were you in Australia when you did that?
Dubai, Dubai.
That was it.
I had just left Australia. I was in Dubai. So yes, let me tell you this and why it just to me such a brand crusher, if you will. So we're talking about Balmain, which is, an expensive clothing brand. There's usually a lot of like shiny things involved, shiny sparkly things, I think, and in their brand. Like, I've never purchased anything in their brand before. We got to Dubai early in the morning, and I went to the mall because I knew it was going to be cold in the desert. We were doing a white party dinner in the desert, and it's just the sun goes down in the desert, it gets cold. So I wanted to get a jacket. I left my jacket at home, so I was like, let me go to the mall. The Dubai Mall has like anything and everything you can think of. I literally like looked at the layout because it is a huge mall to try and figure out where I'm gonna go, which I really was kind of like Zara, H&M, right? Like I'm not really trying to buy anything like crazy. Also, if it doesn't fit in my suitcase, I don't want to be like upset about
Leaving it there.
whatever doesn't make it home. So I get what I need to get, and I am walking out and I see a Balmain store and they're having a sale. So I'm like, all right, let me go in. And I go in and it's a like smaller store, but they have a bunch of like t-shirts, right? And like I love a t-shirt. It just kind of has like a logo, but it's like rhinestoned. And they have all these different shirts with, and like if anyone knows me, I love a glitz. I love a sparkle. I love a rhinestone. And they had all these shirts that were black. I love black. So it's black rhinestoned. And I'm like debating which one I want to get. They have them hanging on hangers, right? Like, love it. So I get a t-shirt that's black and it's like silver. I think it's silver rhinestones. I don't even know at this point, which will make sense in a couple of minutes. So they have it all hanging up and I tell him like what my size, I'm like, oh, this is medium. Perfect. This is my size. So I have it on the hanger. So you go to the counter to check out and they do this at a lot of stores. That's like the display and they get you the one out of the back that's like packaged, right?
Yeah.
So they get it out of the back. I buy it, whatever. I go back to the hotel. I bought a few things in the mall, not like a ton of things, but I bought a few things, including a jacket I wanted for the desert. So I'm unpacking everything and I'm like, oh, this is stuff that this will be good because maybe I can actually wear some of this stuff because it ended up we were going to go to a show that night, which we weren't planning on. And when I pack for work trips, I pack, this is my outfit for the day, or like I know what I'm doing and I pack specifically for that. I only travel in a carry-on. So I don't have just extra things like, oh, here's an extra outfit. Here's extra two pair of pants with a few different like shirts or bodysuits that could be interchangeable. It's like, this is what I'm doing that day. This is my outfit. This is what I'm doing. And like, I'm not changing multiple. So there's no like extras. There's no extras of anything. And half the time I say on a trip, I'm like, oh, I forgot pajamas. Like I more so forget things than have like, when I travel for work, there's never like, oh, there was all this stuff in my suitcase and I never wore it. So I'm like, oh, we're going to a show tonight. We were going to be meeting. So we have built a really great relationship with Joe Foster and he is the founder of Reebok. He's made a bunch of connections. We had seen him that morning in Dubai. He had told us we need to go to the show. The theater happened to be like in our hotel. So it was like, we really don't have an excuse. Like we got to go to the show. It was like the last night and they were going on hiatus for like a month or something, whatever. So I go to get this Balmain t-shirt because I'm like, okay, I can wear this because it's like a fancy t-shirt and I don't really have other things to wear. So I go to the bag. I open up the bag. I pull the shirt out and I'm like, it smells like cat piss. This shirt, you know, when you order shit from fast fashion brands that come from the other side of the world and they yes. smell like cat piss and you don't yes. know how to get the smell at, like, why does it smell like this? What did it go through to smell like this? What adopted cat factory is it in?
Oh my God.
And this was, it was on sale, but it was still over $100. It was probably around $100. I know it was on sale and it was in another currency. It was probably around $100. So it was far too much money to smell like cat piss.
Yeah.
Far too much money.
And it is a big fashion brand.
Right. I wasn't in Zara. My clothes from Zara smell absolutely delightful. Like the shoes I got from Steve Madden, not an issue in the world. My most expensive thing I bought at the mall, straight cat piss. Straight cat piss. So I'm like, okay, I can't wear it to the show tonight because it'll smell like cat piss. So I'm like, in my bag, I usually carry like this Lysol spray to like disinfect stuff. And sometimes like I will spray my clothes, like my workout clothes or whatever, and it will help like neutralize because it's disinfecting. So if there's like a lot of times stuff that's causing like odors or I think I can spray it with this Lysol spray and it'll help at least like neutralize it. So I spray it with that. I'm like, I had like wrinkle, I'm spraying it with every spray I have. Every spray I can find, I'm spraying to be like, it'll neutralize it or mask it or something. I have it hanging in the bathroom, right? So I go, I leave the hotel room. Maybe I went to work out or something. I come back. The whole hotel room now smells like cat piss. Okay. So I'm like, okay, this isn't it. So now I'm going through the closet to find the plastic laundry bag because I'm like, I gotta neutralize, like I can't, everything can't smell like cat piss. So now I put it into the laundry bag and I was like, do I have time to have it laundered? Because I'm actually like, maybe I just send it away for them to launder it because I don't want this in my suitcase.
Yeah.
So I find the laundry bag. I have enough time to send to get it laundered. I send the shirt to get laundered. It comes back. It still fucking smells like cat piss. Okay. So I have another like plastic bag that I find in the hotel room. The shirt is still in my possession. It is still wrapped in the plastic bag because I didn't want to leave it behind. I didn't want everything to smell. And I still haven't figured out
how do what
to wash it in to neutralize cat piss. And I personally will never buy anything else from the brand ever because that just shouldn't be happening. It shouldn't be happening. And I'm like, is it just that one? It can't just be. The shirt was wrapped up. Like, it wasn't like they wrapped the shirt. The shirt was in like a plastic.
Like when it's like, and then it has like the tissue, like it was all like.
Yeah, it was like the tissued in the plastic. The plastic has like the, it's like sticky, but still like this, you know, yeah, where it's folded over. The it's a clear bag. It says Balmain. Then it's in the, like, I just.
Mind blowing.
I'm like, the brand is ruined. And now whenever I see people wearing.
You want to sniff them. You want to sniff them.
That, or when I see it on TV, I'm like, do they smell like cat piss? Which ironically, Katie, this will kind of transition into another story of ours when we were at the bar. Because remember when we ran into Sir wearing his Balmain
shirt? Had that happened at that point? Yes, because then you brought it up and you're like, I'm still not telling you yet.
Yeah. I was like, I'm still not telling you. But the whole time we were sitting there, I was, because I was a seat away from him. I was like, does he smell like cat piss? All I wanted to say was, does he smell like cat piss? Because now, right, you talk about like brand, like customer experience, like the power of building a brand. That brand is forever tarnished now in my head because it was on the level of things I've ordered from Shein that I've thrown in the trash because they smelled so bad. The difference is this wasn't $5.
Yeah. That's so crazy. And you still haven't, like, does it still smell or you don't know?
I don't know. It's still in the plastic bag, not to be opened. Not to be opened.
Maybe
I don't know.
Burn it. Maybe
I mean,
need
I think
ceremony.
I honestly like have not prioritized it either of like, this is my project for today. Make the shirt not smell any, like, I don't know. That probably says that I spend my money too frivolously, or I have more than enough clothes and I don't need to be shopping, that since January, it's just been sitting in a plastic bag in my closet.
Until we brought it up on the podcast and now it's going to bother you.
Yeah. And now I can fix it.
Now you're curious.
Anytime I see it, anytime I see one when wearing it, I think they smell like it.
Yeah. Like the second you also feel like that with Louis Vuitton, we've talked about that on the podcast before, but Francie is very much, I mean, I think we all are. The second you have a bad experience, whether it's product or customer service or what it is, like the second it's tarnished, you're out.
I just, and like I said, not that I'm like, honestly, I haven't even ordered anything from Shein. I feel like Shein I ordered from during the pandemic and then was afraid I was going to get COVID from the boxes because that was like the thing, right? Or Shine or Shein or however you say it. I don't think I've even ordered from it for years, but it's kind of like you're paying such a low amount of money.
Yeah, you know what you're getting.
You either know what you're getting or you're kind of like, this is the gamble. Like, I'm rolling the dice and I might be throwing this in the garbage, but I don't think I've ever bought anything from there for more than $20 either. So yeah, it's kind of a gamble, but I cannot believe I was in this store that things are of the price that they are. And it smelled the way that it did when it, like, you would think there's somebody in the chain of command somewhere that's like, this can't happen, or like, we can't sell these shirts, or this whole batch of product needs to go to the,
like, where was the product quality
discount outlet store, or I don't know. And And I think the other piece is like, this is what I would associate with it being like fake or something like that. But we're in the Dubai Mall. And that was the other thing that was blowing my mind because, like, culturally in Dubai, it's a place where I feel really safe. Like, there's not a lot of crime. And when we were there, like, people that we were talking to and that live there, like, I never lock my front door. They did, you're, it's not a culture, and it's not a place where people are like ripping people off, or where there would be like, you would be able to have a Balmain store where it's like actually fake or counterfeit. Like, that just wouldn't fly. And people that, where I feel like in the US, like, somebody would absolutely, I mean, people do it everywhere all the time, right? There's stores all the time selling stuff that you hear either get shut down or being investigated for like selling counterfeit goods. And you just would think that's not a brand and that's not a place where
You're gonna
anything like would remotely be happening. But it did make me question of like, did I just get ripped off from like a counterfeit
in the store.
shorts it like in the middle of the Dubai Mall? So that was just, I just, it was like wild to me. Like, I could not believe that was actually
I mean, that
happening.
was one of my ideas. The only other idea I had was like a cat was literally in the mall because it's Dubai and like there's just as many cat people as there are dog people, and then maybe like the cat actually peed in the store while you were in the store. That was my only other idea.
It could have happened on my shirt in the back room that I didn't
Cat
see.
got in.
It 100%. 100% that could have been.
Guys, I waited 2 months for that story, so I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I did.
Well, all I know is just like Louis Vuitton, now
They are X'd.
they are dead to me as well.
They're dead.
The high-end brands, they're dying. It's like I said, I just feel when you're paying for something, it needs to be at a certain level. That was not at the level. That was not at the level. Very far from the level.
Just even the qual, I don't know how they didn't do like a quality check. If they're sealed, they obviously go through like a line, unless it's like, you know how like high fashion companies though. I'm sure the dresses, the everything get checked, but then maybe because it's a t-shirt, like it didn't go through like the same factory. It went through like the
Well,
t-shirt with the factory, but like
do you,
charging that price.
I don't know if you have it in Canada or if you saw the documentary on LuLaRoe, the legging company. Maybe they might have had more than leggings. They were a MLM company,
Okay.
and it was like basically, from what I gathered from just seeing other people that did it and from like the documentary, they basically had like different materials and patterns. If you were part of the company, you would get like a box of stuff and you didn't really know what you were getting. And then like people would all come together and do parties. And because like if you and I were both in it and we ordered our box of leggings or whatever, we could have totally different things in our shipment. And you had no idea what you were going to get. As I
Okay.
started like growing and it was becoming really popular, and like most MLMs, all these people are making money and it's like bringing in more people and more people and more people and all the stuff, like their quality started to suffer hugely. And like they were having issues with people like getting shipments and being like, everything in my box like smelled terribly. And then in the documentary, they were talking about how there'd be like pallets of clothes just like sitting outside because it's like there was nowhere to put the, like, so just out of like, you know, the which then like obviously then people are complaining, then people want to rich, right? Like, then you're like lose money. And like to me, you expect some, again, like things coming from, you just expect something with something like that. You don't expect that with like a high-end brand. So that's what just like blew my mind. Quite honestly, that's just what, and I'm like, the t-shirt hanging on the thing that was the display smelled fine. Give me the fucking t-shirt that at 20 other
I'll have
people have looked
the
at.
one everyone's
Yeah, give me the one
touched. Get COVID
everyone's
from the
touched
t-shirt. Just give
because
me
it
the
doesn't smell. I can at least wash that and get rid of the germs, unlike cat piss shirt. So, and then too, because I'm there and like I Ubered there, it was one of those like,
so much work to go back.
so much work to go back. And then I'm like, I don't even know if I can find the store again because the Dubai Mall is so massive. Like, I don't even know if I can find the exact store again to be like, take this cat piss shirt back.
that you just sprayed with Lysol.
Yeah, and everything I could possibly find. All right, so speaking of cat piss shirts, which we'll never know if that man smelled like cat piss or not, because I couldn't tell you the story to ask you if he did, and I definitely did not get close enough. But in the same night, we had two different things occurred that were just very interesting, which both kind of made me think a little bit about when people meet people or people are doing business with people, just like how much a couple of things. One, how much nobody understands what we actually do. Number one. Number two, how much first impressions like actually matter, and yeah, how quickly like people can say things that just make me like flip a switch. The first of these two occurrences happened when me and another individual sat down at the same table at the same time trying to claim it for ourselves. And I, being the nice, generous person, was like, oh, it's a big table. We have a big group, but you have a big group. But like, let's just merge all our groups together, even though I don't think either of our groups would have even fit at the table, let alone both of our groups fit at the table. But it was like right near where a bunch of like the rest of our group was. So it was kind of like, okay, we can just. It was
very much like, you know, when you're out and like some of the girls are having to stand and some of them are wanting to sit, and there was guys in their group and girls in our group and guys in our group. And Francie was just actually being, you know, nice and considerate.
I feel like my normal self would have been like, I will arm wrestle you right now for this table and win. But instead, I was tired. Oh yes, I was that's right, I was tired that evening. Yes, so I was like, let's just share the table and I'll be friends. Why don't your friends meet my friends and we can be friends and just everyone will be friends? So that's kind of what started
the end of the story. Francie's black heart comes back.
Oh yeah, I'll kill someone. That girl better never come back to Orlando ever again. I'll be at the airport. The like a little thing will alert that she arrived. And I will be there and it will not be good for her. So we start making friends, and one of our friends in our group starts asking a lot of questions. He's very inquisitive. So he starts asking like a ton of questions, and multiple times I even think I interjected to kind of be like, I'm so sorry. And she was like, no, I love it. Keep asking me questions. Keep asking me questions. Cause I do feel bad sometimes. Cause like, some people don't mind and some people are just like I didn't murder anyone. Like, why are you asking me all these questions? She seemed really into answering the questions. Fine. So fast forward to then she wants to start asking Katie and I questions. And this is where things went sideways. And or I realized that and this is probably going to rub some people the wrong way, and I quite frankly don't care, because the name of this podcast is Power Suits Podcast, not Stay at Home Moms Podcast. And the stay at home moms, they can have their podcast, and I respect them for everything that they do, because that is not my life and I don't want that life. And I respect that stay at home moms don't want my life, but I've also never judged or come at a stay at home mom or tried to be negative towards that. This individual, not even going to call her a woman because she was an enemy to women everywhere. This individual starts asking Katie and I what we do. How do we know each other? So we start answering her questions. And, you know, Katie and I know each other from business, really, from doing business together. Katie initially was like a client of the company that I run. That's initially how we met. Now we're business partners on certain things. We have a podcast together. So there's a lot of like there's a lot of ways in which our lives are intertwined, and we're also friends.
And we also like from this have both said like, you know, when we do explain it, like we have to kind of go backwards. We do have to start like how our story started. And if you don't actually understand real business, then it's hard to be like, not in this lady's case, because we gave her facts and she just went
this
to
is
different
what
level.
This is what I love. So she looks at Katie and says to Katie something along the lines of like, well, what do you do or how do you get started? So Katie tells her story of, you know, I was pretty young and I started a vape shop in Canada. And this is like kind of when vapes were just taking off. And then I was taking all the money that I was making and I was rolling it into like another location, another location, another location, and just kept like reinvesting in the business and growing really fast. And then in my 20s, I sold that business. And then when I had an exit, I took the money and I wanted to roll it into something else. So I rolled that money into a construction company and then, you know, built another construction company and bought another construction company and then just exited my construction company business. That's all 100. I know Katie. I know what, like, you know, I know the ins and outs of Katie's life. That's 100% factual. And a business person would be like, oh, might ask, like, how'd you go from vape to construction? Which I also know the answer. And I think she did actually.
She did ask that because she's like, well, how do we get to construction? And I said, well, when you make a bunch of money, you need to dump it somewhere. You're going to pay tax. So I explained
you actually said, I wanted to get into real estate. And I figured that it would just be smart getting into real estate to have my own construction company to either do like the rehab work or do my own construction work, because that's usually the biggest expense in real estate. Which anyone in real estate would be like, oh, wow, that's actually pretty smart. Right overhead. Right overhead. And then kind of when she asked me what I do, I usually summarize what I do in I'm partnered in a company that basically hosts events for business owners and entrepreneurs. From those events, we find clients that we're either going to like coach or consult with, because people understand consult. They don't always understand coach, but most people understand consulting. So I'll say that we're either going to consult with, we're either potentially going to invest in their company or invest in their projects, or we're going to partner with them to potentially help them acquire other companies to roll them up to have a bigger exit in which we're going to be partnered in. And I feel like that kind of divides like in a very simple way.
In a simple way. I think we're now overthinking it. That makes perfect sense. What I said makes perfect sense. And now we're just overthinking it.
So at the end of the night when.
But hang on. While she's responding to all this, she's actually like, she was asking some more questions, but she was fine. Like she was like, oh, cool. Or like she, it wasn't like she started, she didn't turn at this point yet. Like,
no.
She was.
And
in
it
our
may have been when her husband, I think, started talking about his pest control company and he's trying to acquire another pest control company. And we actually understood what he was talking about and like, you know, multiples and purchase price and, you know, what he's trying
How
to do.
He loves us and is ignoring her. And this is where she turned.
And when they go to leave the bar in a not even necessary fashion, she decides to tell us that, and I quote, I believe she said, baby girl, which don't ever call me baby girl because I ain't your baby. Baby girl, I think next time you two need to work on getting your story straight. And I about hit her. I about hit her. And this is where I'm just like, I will not call her a woman. She is an individual, which is even being nicer, because way to be an anti-feminist as a woman. Like, I not once said one negative comment about all the things she was saying of like, why are guys just smarter than girls? And I, in my mind, I'm just like, not true. Like, and all the things she was saying, I was just like, not true, but like, that's her truth. And let her live in her truth of being her stay-at-home mom. And
she
like,
did.
Whatever.
Like, yeah, she walked us through, like, she went to school and then she met him. And then, like, you know, she's just been at home taking care of the kid. And not one of us said anything about our views on it or anything. We were just like, that's awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah, because people like, listen,
that's your life and that's your journey and you enjoy it. Clearly,
if my mom wasn't a stay at home mom, I probably wouldn't be here right now. So like, respect that. Like I said, that is a job I have chosen not to have because I don't want that job. So just because you don't understand my job, don't look at me and basically tell me that to get my story straight, to baby girl, get your story straight. And I think what was so frustrating to me, because this was another female telling us this, is I looked at Katie and I said, had we said to her, oh yeah, we have an OnlyFans, here's our QR code. She probably would have not liked that, but she would have understood it. If she would have said, what do you ladies do? And we were like, oh, we both have OnlyFans. She probably wouldn't have liked it. And she still probably would have not liked us, but she would have understood it. And that's like what's mind blowing to me.
And then it's also like the thing we fight for is the thing that gets complained about or that other women destroy. So I 100% on International Women's Day, she did some post about how women are great and blah, 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 blah. But you're the thing, you're embodying the thing that we're trying to fight.
You're part of the problem, not the solution. Problem. And I think that's sometimes to me, which is like so frustrating, is like when, like, I don't understand every single thing that everybody does, but just because I don't understand something, I also don't trust anyone. So yeah, I just assume everyone's lying, but like not to a way where I'm going to be rude to a perfect stranger that you're never going to see me again. Like, what did it matter whether you understood, didn't understand, liked us, didn't like us? Like, we were being incredibly nice to like you, your entire group of people, everyone else in the group. Like there was no reason. Which then makes me go back and think a little bit, like I was saying, when you first meet someone, right? And so many people in business, like you never know who you're talking to. You never know who you're talking to. You never know who that person is. You never know, like, if that's somebody that you just had a reaction to that's going to cause a problem down the road. I'm thinking about the other night I was watching the Beverly Hills, Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion, and Kathy Hilton came out and like Erica had said during the season how like everyone's afraid of you because you control Beverly Hills. And I think about like, yeah, it's really easy when it's Kathy Hilton. You know exactly who that is. You know how you need to act, right? Because that's Kathy Hilton. And whether she's shutting doors on people or not shutting doors on people, and whether she admits it or she doesn't admit it, she's influential. And whatever, if she doesn't like someone, there's going to be influence there. They're not going to be invited to certain things. They're not, right? Like, out of whether she's a total B and is like, don't invite that person, or it's just people know that, right? But everyone knows, okay, Kathy Hilton. But then it becomes, and this is what I've always found interesting, especially working with JT, is I bet there's people around Kathy Hilton that are almost 100 times more influential as far as they will tell her that somebody was rude or somebody did something or the way somebody treated something or somebody said something about somebody in her family or her husband or her children or whatever. And that's going to make the impact. And that's the problem I think that a lot of people forget about is you know who certain people are, but there's so many more people you don't know that have so much power and so much control that you never know who those people are, right? When you're
the ones you can notice, like nine times out of 10, like, I mean, we say that all the time too. Like once we open our mouths and people realize that we have brains in our heads and we're not on OnlyFans, that, you know, they see it from a different angle, but a lot of the times it's the people you don't expect are the ones you can trust or the ones that actually have the knowledge or the connections or the influence. And the ones who are barking are the ones who have nothing.
Can we also just say that oftentimes, like when you're any like bar, restaurant, just out, like the owner of that bar could be there and you may have no idea. And you could be talking to the owner of that bar or restaurant's husband, wife, sister, friend, cousin, niece. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, you just never know who you're actually, who you're talking to. And it's just, It's wild to me how like rude some people can be. It's just absolutely wild. So that happened. And then in the same night, somebody tried to tell, but thought Katie and I were actually not friends, that we were frenemies. And I thought that was also very interesting because I'm like, who would say that to somebody? And this was like a friend of mine. So that's where I thought it was even more funny, because if I had a friend and they introduced me to their friend and I was like, I'm not sure, I'm getting like weird vibes, I don't think I would ask that. Like, I think I'd ask somebody else, like on the DL, because now every time I think of that person, that's what I think of. And I'm just like, no, Katie's like the, I'm grabbing the shovel. Like, I'm not asking questions.
The bodies.
Yeah. Yep. I'm on my way with the shovel. No.
You were very tired that day. So
what do you think, Harlem?
Harlem's like, no.
You my best friend? You my best friend?
Yeah. She's going to go call that lady off.
You miss Auntie K? Yes, you do. You giving Auntie K kisses? They can hear your kisses through the microphone.
Can you hear me? She's like,
she
nope.
Can't hear you. Oh, I know, baby girl. The next thing I want to talk about, because I don't even know if it's next on the list, but I want to talk about Identity Crisis Beyonce and her country song album.
It's
and
on here.
yeah, I know it's on here. I don't know exactly where, but I know it's on here. We got to talk about it, because to me, it is like, it just makes me laugh, because all I can think of when I hear the song is you, number one, Katie, because it's just like Beyonce, who I think the last thing you would ever think of Beyonce doing a country album, but she did a song, she's doing it.
Yeah.
And this is what I think is interesting about it and why I want to talk about it. One, she is clearly like, okay, there is a huge movement here. There's a lot of attention here. Like, there's a lot of focus. So let's embrace, right? Like, where people's attention is going, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's smart, except I don't listen to country. So my curiosity is, I don't feel like country artists have to be loving and or embracing it, because I also, like, again, I'm not the country music listener, but I know in her song, she like, the car is not a Ford or a Chevy, it's a Lexus. And I'm like, I don't know of any other country song where they say Lexus. It's usually like your pickup truck or your Ford or your Bronco, not like park your Lexus. So I feel like I get where she's going, and it's like, let's be on trend. Let's be innovative.
She's doing country. She's not doing country.
Well, but so like, how do country people feel about it?
Well, so it reminds me of, well, two things. One, reason I think how she created the album, yes, going into the genre is huge. She's also from Texas, so she does have a big like Texas following as it is. Now, when, for example, Morgan Wallen started getting big, so like, I'm like, pop-ish country, all the diehard country people hated it. They were like, this isn't country music. Like, none of these
so
songs
Morgan
are
Morgan Wallen isn't, like, I don't know, because I'm like, I feel like he's gone.
Yes, and especially now, like, it's like he's top charts, right? But I remember when like Luke Combs was number one, Morgan started coming out, and you would start to see those like battle TikToks of like, this isn't country music, and da 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 da. Now Morgan took over, and I'm sure they're all eating their words. And also, like, the older generation, they're going to listen to the songs, but they're always going to love like the original country music. So that's just a whole different category we put over there. But I feel like with Beyonce, one, her group is like so big that she could just create an album for them. But two, anyone right now who is like, this isn't country, this isn't, that's doing like the same thing that happened with Morgan. There's another one that I'm thinking of and I can't think of the name, but similar artists came out. Everyone was like, this
are you
is
thinking
pop
of
country. This isn't real country.
Where does the guy fall? Hang on. I gotta even, I know I'm not going to say the right name. So just give me a moment. I'm going to look him up and then I'll tell you.
But basically, like, they all kept hating and they kept hating. And, like, you got to remember, like, when Morgan started to get big, you had Luke Combs up there. You still had, like, Blake Shelton, all these people that were still on top charts. And it's, like, I think country music is just changing. And it's becoming popular, like, in different genres for that reason. But I think the OG country, hick people who hate Morgan when Morgan came out are always going to make their comment. But now they listen to Morgan.
This is who I was going to ask about. Zach Bryan. Is he country?
Yes. Okay. So same thing.
And I only know him because he's dating a girl, an influencer. But that's the only reason I even know who Zach Bryan is, because he's dating Brianna. And I listened to some of her podcasts and stuff. So that's the only reason I even know who he is. But just, like, knowing a little bit about his story, I'm like, I feel like he might be someone that, like, I think he's country, but because I don't know who he is. So he's got to be country. Typically, if I don't really know who someone is, they got to be country, because, or sometimes they could be like a very new, like, hip hop young person that, like, has only like had one song. But typically they're country if I don't know who they are. But I feel like it's smart. But I also, like, I'm not the biggest country person, but I could see where some of her lyrics, I'm like, that's like Beyonce's version of country.
Yeah. I think there's a market for it. Like,
look, it's how country much, and caviar.
Yeah. But look how much, like, country went to, like, EDM music and, like, how that all took off. And, like, those songs started, like, blowing, at least on my TikTok, because my TikTok is all country. Like, those songs would start taking off and, like, nobody was doing that. And I think it's just, like, the genre is changing a little bit, where there's, like, more pop country and then there's, like, Western country.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's the number one listened to genre of music in the United States. So for her to make that move, she just opened herself up to a whole different market. And the thing is, like, I listen to The Highway and I listen to Y2 Country and all those SiriusXM channels, it's getting played constantly. So now it's like, even if you did or didn't like it, it's going to be keep playing until it's in your head, and then you're going to like it.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, that's part of the battle. So, next, speaking of people that are on genres, or I don't even know if he technically is or technically is not, because I've yet to see him live, but DJ James Kennedy, also known as the White Kanye, self-proclaimed, as he likes to call himself, as you recently did get to see him live. Okay. Listen, I give him a lot of credit. It reminds me a lot of Pauly D, like, hey, you're on a reality show. And he's been being in music and wanting to be a DJ for a long time. So it's not like, oh, this just popped off, but the notoriety of that show, and it opened up doors for that entire cast. I think reality to me is, I think the fans of that show were always there. Like, yeah. I believe, just like Jersey Shore, DJ James Kennedy could have gone on tour earlier and people would have gone to see him, because I do think the following of that show was there. It just became so talked about that people that maybe had never heard of these people before were now aware of who they were. But as you went to the show, you were sharing a bunch of it with me. My question for you is he actually a DJ? Like, is he genuinely a DJ in the sense of, like, Hardwell is a DJ, Timmy Trumpet is the DJ, the Chainsmokers, meaning, like, yes, they show up to a venue, they have their songs on their USB, but they can on the spot mix shit together, they're making music and being a DJ? Or is he more of an entertainer that is best suited for being a DJ, if that makes sense?
Right. And he can click play. No. I will say he was, well, first of all, when I went, I didn't know how it was going to go. So, because you're thinking reality star, like, I've seen, like, his reels and stuff, but, you know, what am
reels
I
Reels are always the highlight of a 30, right. like any 30, a 30 second can clip can always sound great.
And like, we're in London, Ontario. We're not in Las Vegas with like fire show. So let's also put that into perspective. He doesn't have like all the lights and everything else. So he was really good. He's great at entertaining. He cannot dance.
But you don't have to dance to be a DJ.
He has zero rhythm. So I don't exactly
know.
So
there is hope for JT and DJ Mega Fox. Yeah,
like it really was, if you took a young JT and made him DJ James Kennedy, I mean, that's exactly what it really felt like. So
that's funny. It makes me laugh.
But yeah, no, he was good. He was better than what I thought he was going to be. He is not a Hardwell. He is not like a Timmy Trumpet. He is not one of those DJs that you go and you're literally going for the DJ. And then I've also seen Pauly D, and I know I've said this to you before. Pauly D, I think he's just been doing it so long that he is genuinely now a DJ. Like he's just done it. He's seasoned. He knows what he's doing up there.
Well, I was going to say Pauly D is also like my age or older than me at this point. Yeah. So like he better be good.
And I think that with James, you can tell like he's clearly must have gotten better because he's just been doing it so much. So I think that he's going to keep getting better with the craft. His shirt said, "See you next Tuesday." And he kept like taking his shirt off and like throwing it in the crowd. He was actually jumping down. So Francie knows this about me, but I like get super anxiety going to the front of like a stage or close into a crowd. But at this specific venue, I know that like if I go up to the front, to the left and the right of me is like the sidebar, so I can just like get in, get out easily. Mm-hmm. So I actually went up pretty close, you know, with a girlfriend of mine. And at this point, I'm now FaceTiming Francie because if I can't bring Francie, I gotta virtually.
Yes,
bring Francie.
Yes.
And then, he was like jumping down in, which I mean, DJs do that, but they also get to the point where it's like a safety issue and they can't jump down there, the venue, whatever. So yeah, he was like down there, he's taking pictures with everyone while he's DJing and then he's jumping back up. So he put on a really good show, but he needs to just keep.
Well, that's what from what I was observing through my FaceTime and clips I was getting is his transitions still quite aren't there.
Yeah, it's kind of like his rhythm.
Yeah, it just, the transitions weren't fully like you wanted a little bit more of a song or you thought a drop was going to be a little bit like bigger, better, or like harder than it was. Obviously everybody has to start somewhere. And if you're going to get people that are going to show up because of who you like of your TV prep, like, and I don't know, cause I mean, I know you've seen Pauly D, but obviously we didn't see Pauly D 20 years ago when he was just getting started.
Yeah.
So like, you know, it's hard to compare, but that's another one where I look at like, because if you go look back, he was actually putting out like songs and like singing, rapping, I think back in like the OG Vanderpump days. So yeah. It does make me wonder if he's like, okay, this is just how I'm going to make it in the music industry versus how like he would have preferred to make it, if that makes sense. Like, like, okay, maybe I'm not the like the singer, rapper, performer. AKA White Kanye. I do also think it was interesting because when you were FaceTiming me, how many Kanye songs he
was playing.
Because like maybe I'm not up on who's on the cancel list and who's not. And like I also don't really care to cancel people. I think that's like a little bit ridiculous. But I thought the world hated Kanye. I mean, clearly they don't, and clearly he still has fans. And I've always been a big fan of a lot of his music. Like I think he's very talented in his music, but like he's said some pretty like horrific things to offend entire groups and or countries of people. So now that's not going to change whether people liked his song or not. I mean, I guess people, there's a lot of musical artists that people I guess could say the same thing about. But I was a little bit surprised. I was like, wow, he's like really playing a lot of Kanye, which I did not know that that's what we're doing here.
Yeah. No, I was shocked, but like also like shocked and not shocked at the same time. Cause I feel like James also likes to toe the line just from the show. So
yeah.
Maybe he's doing it to make clips go, but I don't know. Like, is there actual thought behind that? I don't know. But yeah,
I mean, then they were like popular. It wasn't like obscure Kanye songs. It was like popular songs that everybody would know that would get the crowd going, which is actually a line from a song that he did. But I thought that
Sandoval's a liar. So everybody chanted
of
that.
Course, like everyone, and like I know he
and
starts
his
with
opening is
is
the
the
band.
Vandeprom, which I've seen the opening like on so many clips, so I knew that. So I thought it was
I think good
interesting.
for him. Like, he
yeah, no, I mean, listen,
has not been the perfect person on the show or had the perfect, you know, moves in life.
no.
And like, out of all of them, he's probably making the most, because usually the DJ ones who go off and do like DJing, or unless you're like Stassi, who's like completely left, like she's killing it with her podcast tours. I mean, you got to create something where people are going to come that's related to your brand, but they're also coming because of you. They're not coming because of another castmate.
Right,
So.
totally. Like, it's all because of you. And, you know, I don't know what his rate to DJ is, but he's headlining places. He has residencies with some pretty big places. So, like, I'm guessing he's getting, you know, tens of thousands per appearance. Like, he's not the huge, huge names yet, but
No, but he just heard like 15 days straight, and let's say
no,
Matt
that's what I'm saying. Like, even
made
if
10
he's getting
grand,
10 grand a
he made
pop,
150
which
grand.
I think 10 grand, like, I think that could even maybe be on the low side for some of these places that he's at. Like, you're exactly right. When you're doing 10, 15, 20 days a month, that's, you know, 100,000, 200,000 in a month, and you continue to do that, that's a lot of money. And when you think about it, the downside is the travel, because it is a lot of travel, but it's not that much of your time.
No, like, he goes out for, I think it was like 2 hours max.
So he does a long set, because that's what I was saying to you. I was like, well, he should be going on around this set, because most DJs do like an hour and a half, right? Sometimes in
Katie
clubs.
gets there and Katie was already ready for bed and sends a picture of an empty venue.
And
And
I
is
was like, I was like, girl, you're there too early. And she was like, no. And I'm like, yes,
I need my tea and my bed.
But I mean, I give him so much credit. And it's interesting right now, because I know, like, Vanderpump now, I know we had on our list to talk about the premiere of the episode, because that's how long our list is. And we don't need to talk about the premiere, because now we're like halfway through the, I think the mid-season trailer just dropped. So that's how, like, that's how behind we are. But it is very interesting watching. We saw the scandal break. Our first episode, we talked about how they're monetizing and how people should be monetizing and what people should do and what people shouldn't do, and like how to take advantage of certain things. And I now, right, because we're seeing all these episodes, it's a year since Scandoval broke. You look at, you know, I think Lala did a very good monetization where, yes, she had her like send it to Daryl and that blew up and that was a thing, but it wasn't this like overly done thing. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like overly too much. You obviously have Ariana, who has gotten so many opportunities and things paying her, which you see on the show, and I think is interesting, and I think it is also true, because a lot of people don't think about that, and I think about it probably every day, how much money she probably had put into the sandwich shop to then be in the position where now I'm in this house that I am co-owner of. I don't want to pay to leave. He's not paying to leave. Why I'm staying in the house. And, you know, people are just thinking she had all this money. But, you know, I know the cost of starting a business, of opening a location. And I've got to think at this point, I'm hoping they have somebody good on their side negotiating some stuff. But they've got to be bleeding money, because that place still is not open. It was supposed to be open last summer and it is still not open.
I don't know what it is with these restaurants and them not opening, but like, that should be, we should have everything put together before we have location, clearly.
Well, the issue that they're having with their location is the street that it's on. The city wants to turn the street into a non-driving, to where it's like
right, yeah.
A like where you can't drive down the street, and it's like cobblestone or whatever tables outside. It's like a walking street only. And so they had like that whole patio, and I guess they had to get rid of the patio. And it's like this whole thing of like that street, and the whole thing is they want to change. And it is the city that's basically, I guess not, it can't be stopping them at this point, but I guess it's, they're like stuck in this, like, had to get rid of the patio, but then like, what is going on? And it is wild to me because, you know, businesses we've been like, just everything. I'm just so curious because most landlords at this point, you're paying rent. They don't give a shit. You're paying rent. Like, you know, we're in a business where we have a location in Chicago that ideally would have opened 9 months ago, that, you know, we decided to totally scrap the whole thing, redo the whole thing. We're just now doing construction, applying for the construction permits to get approval to where, you know, hopefully we're going to be open this summer. But like, we know because we were supposed to be open by like latest end of last year, that now like the landlord, because in our, you know, in the lease negotiation, you negotiate so much time of not having to pay rent, but now they're kind of like, okay, now you've had it for this long. And so now we're in like this negotiation back and forth of when do we start paying rent? Because they want their rent and we're kind of arguing we're not. But I also know I'm dealing with a team of people that have been in business, done lease negotiations, you know, built buildings, built hotels, bought buildings.
Yeah.
I don't know that like Katie and Ariana, and it's not a negative on them, they admittedly don't have that experience. So I'm hoping they have someone on their team that is helping them negotiate and they're not stuck in, oh yeah, we're paying rent.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a small little thing that makes a massive difference. Because even if they open it and they can't open the patio, they're not going to.
And you know what they should do? All right, we're going to give them some free advice right now, because this is what Something About Her should do. So they've done a few merch drops, and I know they raised money from the merch drops, which probably went to rent at this point, or, you know, different things. But if they don't have the cash, they could easily do another merch drop or create something. And at this point, they should get a food truck.
Yeah.
Food trucks are not crazy expensive. There's costs, but if you did some type of merch drop, they would raise enough money in selling merch to buy a food truck. You don't even need the fanciest food truck. We know that they have their menu because we've seen them do tastings. We've seen people talk about the sandwiches. You don't need a full menu, and it's sandwiches. So it's like such an easy thing you could do in a food truck.
Yeah.
And take five of them, right? So you don't have to have your full menu, or you like rotate out the four sandwiches you're going to have off the menu. And so it becomes like people want to come on certain days to get whatever their sandwich is, and you get a food truck. And then the revenue of the food truck can at least start making you money, or at least paying for the rent, or at least be doing something. Because at this point, that's what I would do. Because again, I'm not shitting on anyone, but like, what is Katie doing?
I was just going to say that it should be Katie doing all of it. Because at the end of the day, Ariana is doing Chicago musical. She's doing all these things. I mean, I don't know what.
I'm also interested if that's going to end up causing a
riffraff, like the
rift in their relationship.
Because other Tom said that was a problem. He was on tour. He would just leave. He was never there.
But at this point, get a sandwich, get a food truck, reach out to the Power Suits podcast. We will sponsor your food truck. Mm-hmm. We will sponsor your food truck. We will help you with the business plan, because I could very easily
renegotiate your contract.
What to do in a food truck. And I'm kind of like, why are you not doing this? You already have a menu. You have a chef. You were hired. Like, they probably don't have staff, but like, you know what sandwiches you wanted to make. You know what sandwiches you wanted to make. Yeah. Like, so start to Something About Her food truck. Like, it would not be that big of a cost to get it started. You have that.
Like, you just have the food truck and you have like some lights.
Take it to events.
You guys are there and you guys can do meet and greets. So now you're making
That's
sandwiches.
What I'm saying. If they were like, come meet us at the something about her food truck, like buy something from the food truck and get a photo or like comment, people would go. And you also like very, very easily, I'm sure, could take it to events. You have the space, right? Like I'm assuming they still have the space, and the space had a kitchen. So you could probably still even order stuff and be keeping it in the refrigerator at the space.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not even like that's not an
Probably
issue.
Don't even need a truck. You might just need a bus.
Yeah, I mean, or get like the tequila car or tequila van, or you know what I'm talking about? The little like,
yeah.
Because you really aren't like, I wouldn't do anything where you're actually frying, cooking, whatever. You're making sandwiches. So it is like the easiest thing to kind of execute in a food truck.
Yeah.
And then you partner with like, I don't know what else is on their menu, but if they have like cookies or donuts or any type of desserts, you get another company that does some kind of like cookies or something simple like that, that could be a dessert thing that
Yeah.
like help basically not like partners with you, but either just gives you the cookies and gives like they, if their cost on a cookie is $1 and you're selling them for $5, you split them, or they pay, because if there's like a brand or something like that that's kind of like growing or new that they like, right? Then you could basically have something else that you can make money on, or probably even at this point get people to pay you to be part of it and you go there, right? Just like the Toms at their locations, like part of their whole success is being there. So just like you said, you come be like, we're going to be at this pop-up, or I'm going to be on the food truck, and people will be lined up around the block to come meet them. I mean, you can't get into an event at Sir because people are hoping that they're going to see the cast. Like, y'all need help, reach out to the Power Suits podcast, DM us, we'll fix you, we'll solve your problems. We got the whole business plan. Just let us know. We'll help you. It's fine.
They got to be able to open it too.
We'll invest in you. We'll guide you. Or we'll even give you the plan of how to create the capital, because all you have to do is a merch drop. And you just got to make your – just – you got to make the merch a little – I haven't liked any of their merch. I'm not going to lie. I haven't liked any of it. You got to have some different vibes going on.
Like, what I think it is a little bit, though, like I – and not necessarily them, but when merch like started working with like Housewives and Vanderpump Rules and all that, like people, I don't know if it's a company that's been doing it for everyone or what, but like you can tell where there's effort made and zero effort made. So it's like something about her is kind of like zero effort. And then like the send it to Daryl, like she clearly picked the font, she picked the type of hoodie she wanted. Whatever, versus like, okay, I said a saying
overnight.
Yeah.
And that's so, the thing, like,
a little bit of effort in here. It is a $65 hoodie still.
I just, you know, merch has become such a big thing. And when people have a following, like, I just received, so I bought them a little bit ago. And I don't know if you've been seeing Miss Peaches. How do you not know who Miss Peaches is? Do you know who Dave Portnoy is, the founder of Barstool Sports?
Yes.
Okay. So Dave Portnoy, who is somebody that I just love. I think he's so entertaining. He has like his personality, his like, you know, he's a very like, don't start no shit, won't be no shit. But if you're going to start something, I'm going to finish it. And like, I do love people with that like personality type, right? Like I have nothing like, I'll leave you over there, but if you're going to come for me, I'm going to come for everyone in your family. And I find that entertaining and I appreciate that. Well, he adopted, I can't believe you have not seen this. She's like in like 3 weeks has like 500,000 Instagram followers. It's like one of the fastest growing like social media influencers, and it's a dog. So he adopted a rescue. It's like a rescue from a shelter, pit bull that they're estimating to be around 6 years old. And her name is Miss Peaches. And he does all these videos, and like she chewed his like Gucci wallet, she chewed up the television remote, like she just does crazy stuff because she is adopted, and he like flew her on the went to Atlanta, flew her private back to like Miami, and she's like living the life, which I'm like, good for her, good for you. I support all of this. And he put out merch for Miss Peaches, but all of it, all of the proceeds, he's donating to different animal shelters. So basically like every month or whatever. So one is like a pinkish colored hoodie, and it has peaches on the side, and it has her face, and it says Miss Peaches. And on the back, it says adopt, don't shop. And then there's another one that's a gray hoodie that says anti-human, pro dog. So I bought both of the hoodies, which they're so expensive, but the videos, I can't believe you haven't seen it. They're all over TikTok and Instagram. And whenever he's like this guy, like I said, that's very like, you know, you come at me, I'm going to destroy everyone in your family, like very opinionated, like whatever. But like when it's Miss Peaches, like everyone is with their pet, he's like, Miss Peaches, and like has this like Miss Peaches voice, and will be like, did you eat the remote, Miss Peaches? Oh no, what are we going to do? And now all my dogs are coming because they're like, oh yes, hi, baby. Oh,
and Hartford.
You know who Miss Peaches is, don't you? Yeah, we watch Miss Peaches. Huh? We watch Miss Peaches. So my whole point is like within like a week or two, he had done like $275,000 in sales of Miss Peaches merch. I bought both hoodies. I bought both hoodies. It was far too much money.
Currency contributed.
But I was like, okay, no, and like I don't personally know him. I would love to personally know. He is like somebody that I would actually love to just be friends with or have a conversation with or have a dinner with. Cause I think he's very interesting, and how he like his journey of like creating Barstool, selling it twice, buying it back for a dollar, like business wise,
great story.
It just is so like intriguing to me. You got to go look up Miss Peaches. You got to go look up Miss Peaches, and people are doing like spoof Miss Peaches. And then I have one. I have to figure out how I'm going to make it, because my Miss Peaches, Miss Little Lady Hartford over here, who is like my rescue story, damn dog ate my remote. Just like Miss Peaches. Just like Miss Peaches ate the television remote.
You need to do like a Stitch video on TikTok.
I do, because I literally was. Oh, and she brought it to me. She brought me the chewed up remote. Like I found a new toy, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Because I also was like, I subsequently was able to find a remote on Amazon, but like I've never had to order. I was like, can you even, because I feel like the last time I've needed a replacement remote, it wasn't like you can just order a remote and it just works. Like that wasn't a thing.
Like
get a remote with the TV and that remote works with like, so a crisis avoided. But for a moment I was like, am I never going to be able to work this TV again? But it's just, so much money can be created off of merch. If it's like, for a good reason, if it's like you have kind of different looks, and like the look of the Miss Peaches versus the anti-human pro dog is two like very different looks. So like it's I think with the something about her
together
merch, it's all had a very like, okay, don't you girls dear get no, you're about to get in a fight, I know it, don't you do it right here while mommy's on the podcast, don't let all the people know how mean you are to each other. So it's like, Katie, Ariana, we will help you. Katie has your same name. She will help you.
Katie will help you, Katie. We'll bring you to the Katie's merch game.
Reach out. We will help you. We'll help you get your shit in order. We'll help you start making money, monetizing, and then that money can at least go back into the business or get you a paycheck.
My God, remember when it all broke and me and you were like, someone get Ariana something? Like, there was just, we were watching like Lala making all this money and like all this, like people do want to support you and your community does want to support you. It's not like you're just making the hoodie for the sake of making the hoodie. Like, it is for the business you're trying to start.
And I feel like they're in a very critical, pivotal moment where if something doesn't happen soon, I could see people being like, hey, we bought all this merch for this thing that isn't opening and doesn't exist. Because I see the videos of people being like, oh, we went by and this is what it looks like. And this is what it looked like a year ago, almost ready to open. And now there's no signage and it looks empty. And like people, you know, people do get to a point where they're like, was I scammed? And I know we need to wrap it up because we've been on for a while, but I think to a point, really interesting thing that Carolyn Stanberry had said, who's on Real Housewives of Dubai, was on Ladies of London. And she said this in a dinner that we had a while ago, and she's said it multiple more times since now I've been around her so many times. And it's so true. She's like, I never discuss my business ventures on the show for the point of you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to fall through. You never know what's going to come to fruition. Like, you just never really know what's going to happen. And once you talk about it on television, you are held to that. You are associated with that. That is like your sword to die on, good or bad. And she was like, and I'd never thought about that because I feel like so many people go on the show and so many people use the show as like, this is my business. This is my thing. Like, come here, go there, buy this, right? Like pushing peddling their wares, if you will. And I was like, that's really interesting because she really, and I guess also I notice it more because I know businesses she's involved in, or I know things she's doing that are not discussed. So maybe I notice it even more with her because I know other things that she's doing or that even we're doing together or other people that she'd been talking to or, you know, building things with. And she's even had people, and I will say, you know, she was so smart to not do this. She's had people that have wanted her to push things on the show or talk about it on the show or be like, oh, I'll film a scene with you where we're talking about the plans for something, and she won't do it. And I know, admittedly, she's so glad she doesn't because some of those things have not worked out and have fallen apart.
Yeah.
And it's not something you want to put your name to. You know, that's why they say like work in silence and celebrate in silence. Like nobody needs to know what's going on until it's already happened.
None of us are movie stars, but you know, don't celebrate it till it's over because it happens all the time in business.
Exactly.
So.
All right. I know this is long overdue. I know we didn't get to a lot of things on here, so we're going to have to do better at getting our next episode. I do have a power tip. So if you have a power tip, you can think of yours while I am sharing mine quickly. I'm going to make my power tip. I may have said this before, but I'm going to say it again. If I have said it before, and if I haven't, it'll be news to you because I've definitely done a TikTok video on this before. Never disrespect the money. Ever. Don't disrespect the money. And you can apply that in however you want to apply that. But if you're in a business deal and you didn't bring any of the money to the table and you have partners and they brought all the money, don't disrespect those money partners. If you have investors in a real estate deal, don't disrespect those partners. If you are in a, you know, just any situation, you have to remember what your role is and what you're bringing to the table and that you went to someone else to raise, acquire, gain capital. Don't piss the money off. Do not piss the money off. And if you're pissing the money off and you push their buttons enough, you also have to remember you went to them. So they have money. They will make your life a living Hades.
It's so true. There's a whole story there, but that is the best tip for the story.
I think that is my power tip of just never disrespect them. I mean, you should never disrespect anyone. Quite frankly, you should never disrespect anyone, but definitely don't disrespect the money.
Because
people with money, they talk and they know each other. And when you disrespect the money, it's going to be really hard for you to get money ever again.
Yes. I think mine will just be on theme with our BFF that we will always remember that is banned from Orlando. And it's just don't judge a book by its cover. Because at the end of the day, not only did we go through that situation, but I have had some wild coaching calls with people this week. And situations, whether you're getting into business dealings or you're doing transactions, and you, one, need to control your emotions, and you need to know who you're talking to. So if you don't go the extra mile and do the research before you get in those rooms, you can lose the opportunity that you've been so desperately working for. So it's very important to know who you're talking to. Some of the most successful people will never make it known to you that they are successful. And there has been situations where people have gone into these meetings and have ruined it. So you don't want to work your ass off to get to that table to miss your shot. So do the research.
Because unfortunately, especially if it's your first time sitting at that table, you're probably never going to get invited back. You know, it's different after you've built a relationship, but you know, I would say in those scenarios, that's such a good point, Katie. And you know, a lot of people when they first meet me don't really know what's going on in my mind because I'm pretty quiet. I'm pretty quiet. Like, I'm just quiet. I don't say a lot. I'm just quiet. And a lot of times that is because I'm trying to like assess everything. And instead of putting my foot in my mouth or trying to like assert some kind of like power or whatever, I'm just like reading the room, reading the people, like assessing the situation. And I think so many people go into scenarios trying to with, you know, they're trying to have their, you know, BDE going into the room and then realize that they're really, you know, LDE, not big DE, because the person across the table has got a way more BDE. Hopefully you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, Google it.
Google it. Well, those are two great power tips.
Yes. So thank you so much for joining us on another episode of the Power Suit Podcast. We really are going to try and get better at this. We promise. We're going to try and get better. We really are. But make sure you like, share, send us a DM with something you want us to talk about. Leave us a 5-star review. If you're not going to leave us a 5-star review, well, send it to Daryl. Thanks, everyone.